We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
Matt, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Just scarfing down some lunch and ready to talk some.
I just scarfed down some lunch in my my 10 minutes of, I wouldn't even call it spare time, but yeah, I actually got to eat something just now, so I am good to go for the rest of the day and, you know, up until the trade deadline tomorrow, which, you know, I'm hoping that the Mavs end up doing something, but man, they're just in a tough situation. I mean, it doesn't matter how much I explain, like, oh, this can happen. Oh, this is how this could happen. If other teams don't like the Mavs pieces, or if the Mavs don't feel like, you know, they want to give up a certain amount for a certain player, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think, you know, if two sides can't get together and do something, then, you know, there's nothing you can really do about that. But hey, I mean, we've laid the groundwork on a number of different scenarios that the Mavs could potentially get in on DallasBasketball.com, and hopefully they end up doing something, even if it's just a marginal move, you know, something to fortify their big situation or their 3-point shooting with Tim Hardaway Jr. out. Hopefully they end up doing something here in the next, what is it now, 26 hours, I believe, or a little under 26 hours until the trade deadline.
Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, where are you at on the Mavs as far as, do you think there's going to be a trade, even if it's a small one, or do you think they're, you know, there's not much they can do and they're basically just going to put their hopes into the buyout market here?
I could see them doing something small. I mean, they always do something small. What I don't think we're going to see is one of these very detailed and well thought out, awesome scenarios that they should be considering that you'd have put up on DallasBasketball.com. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they haven't really made a meaningful trade outside of the KP trade a couple of years ago in the last, you know, in the last few years. And even when they did that, it was really for a guy that, you know, it may have been publicized that a lot of people wanted him, but I don't think a lot of people really wanted him. I think that it was more that injuries kind of scared people away and all the other stuff he had going on. So I could see something small, maybe like a Dragic thing. Fingers crossed. Oh, my God, please. But other than that, I don't
think we have to worry too much about Dragic. I know some people have said, well, even if the Raptors end up trading him, that would open up a scenario where he could go back to Miami. You know, if they just buy him out right now, he can't do that because I think you have to wait a full year before you can do that if he's not traded again. But if he's traded again, he could potentially go back to Miami, who I believe is number one in the East right now. So, and he lives there right now. He's really familiar with them. He loved his time there. So I could see where people would be worried about that. But the Mavs have been connected to him for so long, and I really do believe that he has a desire to play with Luka, you know, before he eventually hangs things up. I think he would love to play with Luka in the NBA. And the Mavs are pretty good themselves, and, you know, they're not top in their conference, but I think when you have a healthy Luka and you add a few more, you know, pieces to fortify the depth around this Mavs team, you have a chance to beat anybody on any given night. So it's not the same situation with Miami in the East, but given that Dragic has been there, done that with Miami, I feel like the Mavs would still be front runners to, you know, to get Dragic after a buyout, whether it's before, whether he's traded or not, is what I'm trying to say. So, but I'm looking right now, like if the Mavs are going to do something, I'm still looking at Sacramento and I'm still looking at Indiana. Now, Miles Turner, he's more than likely off the table now because Sabonis got traded to the Kings. And that was the big thing. You know, they didn't want to play Sabonis and Turner together. And, you know, Rick Carlisle absolutely loves Miles Turner. I really don't think that there's going to be anything happening there. And to be honest, at Turner's price point and given his foot problems, I mean, I'm not really sure if we would want the Mavs to give up too much in that type of situation anyway. But for big men, I'm still interested in Rashawn Holmes for the Kings, because now they have Sabonis. They just signed Holmes to a 4-year deal in the offseason. They may look to do something with him before it's said and done. And he would fit in perfectly with the Mavs and being a pick and roll big with Luka. He's got that nice little push shot. That's one guy I'm keeping my eye on. The Mavs, you know, if something came up to where they were willing to give up a future first round pick for him, he fits perfectly into their trade exception. I'm not exactly sure what Sacramento is looking to get back for Holmes, but, you know, the Mavs trade exception is $10.9 million, and Holmes fits into that perfectly. I think he makes like $10.5 million this year. So that's something I would look at. We've had rumors today about the Mavs still circling Buddy Hield, who was traded in that Sabonis deal to Indiana yesterday. And then there was a report by Zach Lowe before we got on here that my guy Grant shared with us, saying that as of right now, and he made the note that anything can change in these next 26 hours or however long it is, as of right now, Indiana isn't planning on redirecting Buddy Hield in a trade. But in my opinion, and Grant, I'll get your thoughts on this, that kind of feels like posturing. It kind of feels like a leverage play somewhat, like, oh, well, the two teams that are reportedly interested in Buddy Hield, which is the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers, they're not really offering that much for him. So Indiana, you know, from their standpoint, it's like, well, if we're not going to get what we want, we're just going to keep this guy who's a 40% career three-point shooter and the top three-point guy in Sacramento Kings history. So, Grant, what do you think about that report? I mean, what do you think about what is a fair deal that the Mavs could offer the Pacers that they would even be interested in, if any?
I think, honestly, when you look at the landscape of what, like, kind of Indiana's been doing, I think it's challenging to put together something enticing that, you know, like, you just look at role players like Dwight Powell, that doesn't really match because they like Isaiah Jackson a lot as a backup big, and they already have Miles Turner, and that's, like, one of the main contracts that could be offered. I do think, you know, like, Tim Hardaway Jr. Being sidelined for the rest of the year, and having that large of a contract, I'm not really sure if they'd be interested in taking that on. That would probably fall under the category of give like a draft asset or something along those lines to entice us into taking that on is probably what they would be thinking. And it would probably have to depend on like the outlook of like their plans with some of these guards that they have. Because Halliburton and Duarte is the backcourt of their future. So I'm not really sure how, you know, I guess if they're planning to keep Hield, if that report is true and that's truly what they want to do, then maybe they'd be okay with that amount of salary for another guard. I'm not really sure, but that seems kind of a weird like thing to be keeping on your books when you have like your backcourt of the future already.
Well, and let me ask you this too, because I think something else that needs to be taken into consideration is what Hield wants as a player. You know, because the backcourt of the future with Indiana is Halliburton and Duarte. You know, that's the backcourt of the future for the Pacers. And, you know, there was some reports and everything about Hield when he was with the Kings. He wasn't necessarily content with the role he had in Sacramento. And I'm wondering if he would be willing to be a backup for two really young guys like that in Indiana, or if he would rather, you know, go to Dallas, where, you know, he's a Dallas Fort Worth guy, stays there in the off seasons, works out all that stuff, or if he would rather go there and potentially have a bigger role, especially with, you know, what's happened with Tim Hardaway Jr. And then on the Pacers side of things, I mean, we know the respect that Rick Carlisle has for Tim Hardaway Jr. He worked with him a ton on his shooting while he was in Dallas, and he was an excellent fit with Rick Carlisle's system. I think that's been most of Tim Hardaway Jr.'s struggles this year, is systematic fit more than anything else, because he shot near 40% from three the previous two seasons, and then this year, before he got injured, he was just shooting about a little over 33% from three. So I feel like a reunion there wouldn't be the worst thing. But like you said, you know, there's more year. I think there's at least one more year, possibly two, on Hardaway Jr.'s contract versus Buddy Hield. And I see somebody in the chat said, Buddy ain't making threes now. Well, he's still making 38% this year. Or 36. No, it's like 36 or 37%.
And things get a little different when Luka Doncic is throwing you those passes too.
Exactly. We have seen that with Reggie Bullock here in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it's still a lot better than what Tim Hardaway Jr. has been able to do in this system. And I just wonder, like, you're very in tune with what the Pacers, you know, think. You know, you have a lot of connections there, given your background and everything. Do you think Tim Hardaway Jr. and his relationship with Rick Carlisle and how well he played under Rick Carlisle, plus, say, let's say the 2027 first round pick, a protected first round pick. Do you think that's something the Pacers would entertain for Buddy Hield?
I think honestly, if they're in the mode of taking on one of those bad contracts to get a draft asset, I think they would. I do wonder also, something I was thinking about is with Rick Carlisle, you know, sometimes using small lineups with like, you know, three guards or things of that nature. I do wonder if maybe Duarte could slide over to the three. I don't know what their plans are for that, but that was something I just thought of after we were discussing like the log jam at guard. But then again, you know, they have a draft pick coming in that's going to be pretty, you know, high, depending on, like, you know, how the lottery odds shake out, and, you know, who knows what they'll end up getting with that. So maybe if something weren't to work out in the trade deadline period, maybe, you know, off-season opportunities could change based off the circumstances.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, that, you mentioned possibly sliding Duarte over to the three. That would be a very Rick Carlisle thing to do. I feel like he would really enjoy having a lineup like that. But Matt, I guess, you know, Grant just said that he thinks that it's a possibility that, you know, the Pacers would entertain like a Hardaway Jr. plus a future first. I guess I'm going to swing it over to you, and I'll give my quick answer on it. I would do it if it's a protected future first, because once that 2023 pick conveys to the Knicks, the Mavs would still have the capability of, you know, it would open up a little bit more flexibility trading picks. And I really think this team right now, if they can just add a couple more pieces, you know, add an elite shooter like Hield, who's had a rough season this year, but things could open up with Luka. Like I said, he's a career 40% 3-point shooter, you know, and maybe another better quality big. I really think it could help this team get out of the first round. And once they get the confidence of getting out of the first round, I think the sky's the limit there. Now, I don't know if they're still probably not good enough to get past Phoenix if they were fortunate enough to make it to the Western Conference Finals, depending on how the seeding goes. But I would consider that. Would you give up a future first round pick if it meant getting off of Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract and getting?
I'll be honest with you, man. I am so tired of this roster, the way that it looks right now and the way that it's looked the last like 3 years, 4 years, that I would absolutely 100% do that just to get some new blood in the building. It's, I think Hield is a better fit than Hardaway right now. I think that he gives you something that you desperately need. And yeah, he does help you get out of the first round. I mean, you likely are not going to have to play the Clippers again, hopefully, for the third year in a row.
Thank you.
You know, you're going to have a different matchup. We just, you know, cross our hearts. It's not Phoenix, but look, or Golden State, but look, that's not the point. The way that you win in this league is with shooting and defense, and the Mavericks have one of those things in spades right now. And the other thing is something that they can acquire very easily by trading a player who's not on the floor and attaching a pick that's probably not going to be great anyway, and that's for a team that doesn't draft well. The Mavericks do not draft well. So the idea that you have to protect these picks so much, until the Mavericks show that they can actually have a decent run on a couple of year for a couple of years in the draft, then I mean, if I'm a Mavs fan, I don't mind trading away these first round picks at all. Just get rid of them and use them as leverage to get a guy like Buddy Hield, who can shoot the lights out, come in and help your team. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
And another thing about that 2027 first round pick I mentioned, I feel like, and I mean, it is a long ways away. It's 5 years away, but the value for teams would be looking at that and thinking, oh, well, if the Mavs can't get it together, and you know, that'll be past this current contract for Luka, or it'll be right when it's expiring. Like, if Luka ends up leaving in free agency the year before, then that 2027 first round pick for the Mavs all of a sudden becomes super valuable. Now, I mean, there's no reason for us to believe right now that Luka would ever leave Dallas, but I'm just saying that's something that potential teams, you know, looking to do a deal like that, that's something they should be keeping in mind, because It is a long ways away, but it could potentially be, you know, well worth it, depending on how that situation goes. And hopefully it doesn't come to that, but, you know, it's just another thing. It's another sales pitch that the Mavs could put on it, you know, if they wanted to do it. But from all the reports today, it just kind of feels like, you know, just based on what the Mavs typically start off offering teams, I feel like they probably, and this is pure speculation, I don't want anybody to like say I'm reporting something, I'm not. But I, you know, if they offered Tim Hardaway Jr. in a second round pick or a couple of second round picks, that wouldn't shock me at all. And then the report comes out, oh, well, Indiana's not planning on on trading Buddy Hield, you know, after something like that happened. I could see that being the timeline for stuff like that going on. And then, you know, maybe eventually the Mavs attach a first round pick to get it going. But I don't know. I'm not exactly, I don't have a good feel for Nico Harrison right now and how he feels about draft picks, because I want to believe.
Can I insert a hot take real quick? I don't think it matters that you don't have a feel for Nico Harrison's drafting, because Mark Cuban's the one to make the draft picks. This is what drives me nuts, is like everybody is in the chat here saying that we need to value these picks, but they do not have a good history of drafting, and Mark Cuban is the final decision maker on all of this stuff.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think Mark Cuban has had – now, he has his – he meddles in free agency stuff and, you know, potential trades, because he's always said, you know, the bottom line is he has the final say in everything, even though he might not do the groundwork for it. But – I don't personally think Mark Cuban has had a real say in Mavs draft stuff since he screwed up the Giannis draft so much. That's just my opinion. I think after that he was like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, let go, let Donnie do this, and then
you mean let Bob do it?
Exactly. That's what the recent issues was. It was Donnie Nelson and Bob Vulgaris, you know, going against each other, and that's what caused the recent riff there. So that's why I say I don't have a feel for Nico. I don't know how much he values the draft stuff, because if there's one area where I believe he's going to have, you know, basically full reign without Cuban getting involved with it, I do think the draft is one of those areas. So I'm interested in seeing how much he values it and how reluctant he is to attach first round picks for guys that aren't star players. You know, Buddy Hield, he's a good player. He doesn't play a lick of defense, but, you know, he's a very good elite three-point shooter that would be very much welcomed in this Mavs offense that has struggled a lot this year. But it's looked a lot better here lately. And, you know, we've seen – and, again, Tim Hardaway Jr., he's a good player. We've seen that for the last 2 years. He's very streaky, but, you know, he is a good basketball player. He just hasn't fit very well into this Jason Kidd offense. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that when Hardaway Jr. went down, Reggie Bullock all of a sudden took off. I don't think that's a coincidence at all. It's just a matter of, you know, fit and getting more minutes. And Grant, do you have the stat there? There was a stat on the Mavs record when Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith are on the floor together or start together or something like that. there is some stat showing it was very, very good. It was like when both of those guys play, or when they both score in double digits, the Mavs have a very, very elite record this year. So I don't know if you have that stat handy, but am I just
– Yeah, it was the net rating and, like, you know, the advanced stats when they share the floor together. You know, after the last night's game, they're above 10 net rating still, which is, you know, very strong for sure. So you know, having both of those guys on the floor at the same time definitely adds some intriguing compliments for Luka.
Now, Grant, I'll ask you that, and I'll get your thoughts on it too, Matt. But going back to other trade options, you know, Jeremy Grant with the Pistons, we just saw him last night. Mavs completely obliterated the Pistons by 30 points. They took care of business. They said they learned their lesson from that Orlando and OKC game before these last three wins, you know, when they coughed them up. So they learned their lesson. They played very well versus the Pistons. And Jeremy Grant, he's been tied to the Mavs in trade rumors over the last handful of weeks. And he didn't play a good game last night. Like, if that was a pre-trade deadline showcase, it wasn't a very good one. Like, if the Pistons were asking, you know, for a whole lot from the Mavs or whoever they're in talks with for Grant, you know, scoring 15 points on, I believe it was 5 of 14 from the field, and he only grabbed 3 rebounds in 27 minutes, that's really not something you would want to trade, like, say, Jalen Brunson or multiple first-round picks for, you know, something like that. So I guess my question for you, Grant, is what is a fair market value for Jeremy Grant right now? Because teams around the league, they know that he's not the Pistons' main focal point anymore. You know, it's around Cade Cunningham and, you know, rebuilding around him. And Grant's 27 going on 28 years old. He's not going to be the guy there anymore, even though he wants to be – I don't know if he necessarily wants to be the top option, but he wants to be a top option wherever he goes. So, and he's also – I think he's due for an extension here pretty soon. So what is a fair market value for Jeremy Grant right now? And, I mean, do the Mavs – is there any chance that they could even get in on
– I think it's challenging to necessarily like scope out what his exact value would be, because, you know, like, as you said, the contract extension that he's seeking is, you know, pretty substantial. And then on top of that, some teams who may be capable of pulling off a trade may not necessarily want to, considering like his desire for his offensive role and things of that nature. Like, if you're a team that already has a variety of, you know, like 1, 2, 3 scoring options, you're probably not going to push for that as hard as you would if, you know, that wasn't a factor. But I do think it's kind of challenging for a team that's looking to rebuild and add draft assets in the short term for Detroit to take on a trade package from a team that's kind of like kind of restricted through 2025. For first round, sending out first round picks, and doesn't really have like intriguing young player necessarily that other teams may be able to offer in a trade.
How much, and I'll swing this back over to you after this one, Matt, but Grant, how much value do pick swaps have in your opinion? Because, you know, even if it's not just a straight up draft pick, you know, you have the opportunity to swap a first round pick, and there's no rule in the NBA preventing teams from trading, you know, multiple pick swaps, I believe. So, I mean, is that something that can come into play in some of these trade scenarios?
I think it depends on the team that you'd be like kind of participating in a trade with. If you're Detroit, you probably are assuming that your record's not going to be necessarily all that fantastic over the next, like, 2 years as you have Cade Cunningham develop and, you know, add pieces to the draft. So you probably wouldn't necessarily want to take on a swap from a team that has been in the playoffs for the last couple years. And then you probably don't want a draft asset that's in the distant future, since you're wanting to get as many liquid assets for the draft as you can now. To kind of like accelerate and add young players to build a core is kind of the thought that I have.
And when it comes to Grant, you know, I've said in the past, you know, he'd be a perfect fit with this Mavs team. And I made the comparison a few weeks back when I wrote a piece for DallasBasketball.com. He would kind of be like the modern day Josh Howard type for this team. Which may be, you know, that might be a little insulting to Josh Howard, but, you know, same type of player, same physique. You know, he does some of the same things that Josh Howard did, shoot similar percentages and everything. So for that reason, I would be willing to I wouldn't just want to steal him. I mean, I would want to steal him from the Pistons, but I would be willing to give the Pistons, you know, a little something to get him, because I wouldn't trade Jalen Brunson for him, obviously, but, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, who is a similar player, and he's about to get paid probably somewhere, you know, if the projections are right. What is Grant making now, like $20 million a year? And the projections for Finney-Smith are around, like, close to $15 million a year. It's like, who would you rather have, Dorian Finney-Smith at $15 million a year or Jeremy Grant at $20 million a year?
You want to have Grant.
Right.
I don't really like what I'm seeing down in the chat very much right now about keeping Dorian and JB around and like keeping the, like, I think that I like both players. Don't get me wrong. I especially have loved what JB has done over the last, you know, few months, but at a certain point you have to make a change. And whether that's Buddy Hield or Jeremy Grant or trading, you know, Dorian or trading JB for something, I mean, you don't want to just trade them for anybody. I've never advocated just trading for anybody. But you have to make some substantial change at some point because the roster that they've had for the last 3 or 4 years has not worked past the first round. And they're doing very well this season, and they've made some changes to what they're doing.
And here's,
in terms of like defensively and all that stuff, and that helps, but you can't keep trotting the same roster out year after year and expecting a different result. I don't care who the coach is.
And
so yeah, do what you can to get Grant involved. I think
here's the thing with Grant too. Yes, he's gonna want more money probably on his next extension, but you know I'm not necessarily worried about that. You know, again, would you rather pay Grant? Jeremy Grant and what he provides, or especially when you consider he might be taking a step back in his role, you know, more similar to what he had in Denver than what he has with the Pistons right now. Because obviously, even though he was getting numbers these last couple of years, the Pistons have been terrible. So, I mean, he's obviously not – I mean, he's capable of getting the numbers, but he's not a guy who can get the numbers as the number one guy and then your team also wins. So – even if he does require, you know, a pay raise on his next contract, again, I raise the question, would you rather pay Dorian Finney-Smith long-term around $15 million a year, or would you rather pay Jeremy Grant, you know, around 20 or over 20 on this next contract extension for a guy like him? I mean, I say Jeremy Grant. And
I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, I don't think it's close either. And then you also take into consideration, and this is also me thinking about the KP situation going forward too. Depending on how he plays in the postseason this year, he might not be on the roster before we get to, you know, like free agency next year or before the start of next season. I mean, I really don't know. I really think the Mavs have to do something with KP at some point because even though he's had a good year individually, you know, his stats have been good and everything this year. He's still a questionable fit with Luka. It's not a seamless fit there. His health status is always in question. He's been out for a handful of games with a knee bone bruise now, which, you know, we hope it's not anything more serious than that. He put something on Instagram the other day saying he'll be back soon, but soon could mean late March.
I don't think he'll be back in Dallas soon.
Maybe so, but, you know,
I'm not spreading rumors. I'm just making a joke, guys. Relax.
Yeah, for sure. But, I really do think they're going to have to do something with him at some point because they've shown, and I've said this on previous pods, and I don't want to keep just, like, running it in the ground, but KP, whether KP plays or not, it doesn't really affect the Mavs winning or losing. Like, they can be perfectly fine if Luka is completely healthy and you add guys like Marquise Chris and, you know, Maxi Kleba when he's shooting well, and even, you know, we see what Dwight Powell does. Dwight Powell's chemistry with Luka is far and away better than what, you know, Luka and KP's chemistry is. So even though KP is the more talented player, obviously, but I think they need to look at ways to trade his contract. And even if they don't get something back that they think is, you know, worth what they think KP is as a player, I do think that's something they got to look at and open up their options going forward especially if you swing a trade for Jeremy Grant and you plan on extending him going forward, because I don't think they would want to lock into a three player, you know, a big three of Luka, Jeremy Grant, and Kristaps Porzingis. You know, that's just my opinion on it. But Grant, I mean, I know we've talked in, you know, back channels about this KP stuff, but am I far off there? Don't you kind of think the Mavs need to do something with his contract going into the summer?
Yeah, I think if you have something favorable, I definitely think it's worth strong consideration, because I think the formula of a like rim running big that can catch lobs and then having shooters around Brunson and Doncic, I feel like that's really like a successful sort of template. And I don't like with KP wanting post-ups and things of that nature. You know, I think it kind of messes a little bit with the flow. Like, I don't think it's really worth giving post-ups to a big. That's not like a Joel Embiid or Jokic type to disrupt that. So I kind of think, though, the problem that you may run into is that you, you know, when you have too many like 3-and-D guys, you know, if you're moving the ball around when like Doncic is getting blitzed on ball screens or things of that nature, then you have to have someone that can put the ball on the floor and attack. And I think, you know, Brunson does a good job of it, but I think having a big wing that can also do that would be important whenever you're trying to like succeed in the playoffs, because you can't rely on just one player handling those sort of situations.
And that's why I really like the idea of Grant, because I mean, everybody in the a lot of people in the chat saying he's overrated. I mean, to us, if you base it off of his overall stats these last 2 years in Detroit, yes, he is overrated, because you know, those stats are kind of inflated because he's been the number one guy and everything. But from an intangible standpoint, I mean, I don't think he's overrated. I think he's very, very good. He's got great defensive instincts. Like, you know, he can put the ball on the floor and get to the rim. He can shoot threes, even though I think he's having a down year shooting threes this year. I think he's around 31% or so. But I would just love to have him on the team. And I think – I mean, one situation I'm looking at as a potential KP trade situation is the Washington Wizards, because I think they're a really desperate team, you know, as far as trying to make a splashy move to potentially persuade Bradley Beal to stay past his current contract. I think they're kind of desperate, and there's been rumbles in the past that they're keeping tabs on KP's situation. So, and they have some big contracts, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, Davis Bertans, you know, they've got pieces on that roster that would fit, and it would be pieces where it's like, you know, it's not the greatest return. It's probably not what the Mavs would want to get back for KP, but it's not terrible either. So I think that's something to look at. Going forward, maybe the Mavs making a deal with the Wizards in the offseason for KP. But, y'all, it's coming up quick. I'm probably going to come back on here and do another one. I don't know if you guys will be able to join me or not, but we're probably going to do a post-deadline thing too, depending on what the Mavs do, and kind of recap everything that happened. But it's been a whirlwind so far. I mean, the Mavs haven't done jack. They haven't done jack shit, but, you know, maybe that'll change here in the next 24 hours or so. So, Matt, I appreciate it. Grant, also appreciate you coming on here. Anything else y'all want to add before we take off here?
Yeah, I'm good as well. I can definitely hop on later on the other green rooms if you want.
Well, I appreciate it. Y'all be sure to go follow them. You can find me at Dalton_Trigg on Twitter. Matt is at Matt_Galatson. And you can find Grant at Grant Afseth. You can find all of our work over at DallasBasketball.com. And like I said, appreciate y'all joining us. And we will see you sometime after the trade deadline. Y'all have a good one.